Good afternoon. It's 3 o'clock, and you are tuned to KTUO News in Juneau here on Thursday, the 17th of November, the year 2011. Jeff Brown with you here on a Juneau afternoon. So we will talk with Camille Stevens and John Severson about holiday pet photos with and without Santa. Maria Levischek will discuss winter needs at the Glory Hole. John Pavitt from Pavitt Health and Fitness will discuss their series of free health seminars. We'll also get a preview of Friday's rave for Tata Die Pack with guest Clint Barr. And we'll find out about a variety of other things happening in the weekend during Arts Up. That's today on a Juneau afternoon. Weather forecast for tonight, strong wind is expected with partly cloudy skies and mostly clear skies predicted for later on tonight with low temperatures 11 to 17 degrees. Forecast for Friday, increasing clouds with high temperatures around 21 degrees.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Colorado's lieutenant governor is defending his decision to fire the former executive secretary of the Colorado Commission of Indian Affairs, a move that's angered some activists in Indian country. But as KUNC's Kirk Sigler reports, the lieutenant governor maintains his decision followed consultation with leaders of the state's two tribes.
Earlier this month, Carol Harvey was abruptly fired from her post as the Hickenlooper administration's top liaison between state government and Colorado tribal leaders. Harvey was a holdover appointee from Governor Bill Ritter, but had gained notoriety under this administration for her work on urban Indian poverty and her efforts to address the high dropout rates of Native students. However, during a CCIA meeting conference call this week, Lieutenant Governor Garcia said he felt more was needed to improve the government-to-government relationship with the Southern Ute and Ute Mountain Ute tribes.
It's part of my obligation to provide the highest level of service to the tribes in accordance with the statute. I felt it was time to make a change based on feedback I had received.
The commission voted unanimously to move ahead with the search for a replacement. According to an email sent by Carol Harvey to the commission, she was offered a one-month severance deal on the condition she not sue for wrongful termination. Harvey says she declined that offer. She said she was blindsided by her sacking and has called for an investigation. For National Native News, I'm Kirk Sigler in Denver.
Tribal leaders are up in arms over a proposal to cut tens of millions of dollars from tribal law enforcement programs. Matt Laszlo reports from Washington, D.C.
As Congress looks to drastically reduce the federal budget, this week lawmakers proposed slashing $90 million from Department of Justice programs on tribal lands. The spending proposal cuts $15 million from a program to put more police on the streets in Indian Country and another grant program. In a statement, Jefferson Keel, the president of the National Congress of American Indians, said after taking steps forward with tribal leaders in the past few years, now the House and Senate have irresponsibly cut crime-fighting efforts in communities that need it most. The NCAI says crime rates in tribal communities are 2.5% higher than in other communities, while some reservations have 20 times the violence rate of the national average. NCAI is asking that the funding levels be restored. For National Native News, I'm Matt Laszlo in Washington.
A national organization representing Native American journalists announced changes this week, including a new president. As KGOU's Kurt Gortney reports, the changes come after disagreements over the group's fiscal health.
Board President Darla Leslie resigned from her leadership post with the Native American Journalists Association because she says the organization is in financial ruin. Leslie stepped down Saturday during the board's annual retreat in Norman, Oklahoma. Another board member, Brent Merrill, also resigned. Leslie is a reporter and photographer for the Yakima Nation Review in Toppenish, Washington. She's been a NAJA member since 1998. Leslie became the president of the board in July after defeating incumbent president Rhonda Lavaldo. Executive Director Jeff Harjo says tax returns for the group are current and that finances aren't nearly as bad as Leslie maintains. Harjo says Lavaldo, who had served as vice president since July, will now become the president. Lavaldo is an adjunct faculty member at Haskell Indian Nations University and producer and host of a radio show. NAJA says it has 247 members. For National Native News, I'm Kurt Gwartney in Norman, Oklahoma.
During this week in 2008, Eva Ariak was sworn into office as Premier of Nunavut. The Native woman became the Canadian Territory's second premier and first woman to lead the territorial government. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation.
with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Support for National Native News comes from the law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller & Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C.
If you are a Native American who was denied a farm loan or loan servicing from the USDA, you could get money from a class action settlement. Learn about filing the claim at IndianFarmClass.com or at 1-888-233-5506.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Looking for something for your child to do November 21st? Take aim with Discovery Southeast as we learn archery skills in the morning before heading to the West Glacier area for an afternoon of nature-inspired exploration. This Discovery Day should be a hit. From 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., your child can enjoy the day off in a fun and educational way. Call 463-1500 or go to discoverysoutheast.org for more information. That's Monday, November 21st, for a Discovery Day of nature exploration and adventure.
Time is 3:06 and you are tuned to KTUO News in Juneau here on a June afternoon. First guests are John Sievertson and Camille Stevens from the Capital Kennel Club, here to talk about holiday pet photos with and without Santa Claus. Camille and John, thank you very much for coming down to the station today.
Thank you.
So first of all, tell me about the Capital Kennel Club, if you could, please.
Okay, the Capital Kennel Club of Juneau was formed in 1989, So actually that predates my membership in the club, although I've been a member for a long time. We are a nonprofit agency. We offer classes to the public. We basically encourage the public to participate in activities with their dogs. We host competitive obedience trials, agility trials. Some of you may have seen our agility demos down at Sandy Beach on the 4th of July. I don't think we did it last year, but we've done it a number of years in a row. And those are always very popular with the crowds. We also do rally obedience. We hold puppy kindergarten classes and basic manners classes for the public, and then a variety of other classes that are maybe a little more specialized interest for people that want to go a little bit further in their training with their dogs. But basically, we exist to encourage responsible dog ownership and encourage people to have fun with their dogs.
I said basic manners for the pets or for the people?
Both.
Many times the people more than the dog.
Yeah, actually, our classes are, in a six-week class, you're basically training the owner. And you know, to the extent we can teach the owner how to train their dog and manage their dog so that it's well-behaved, then, you know, I think the person is better behaved and because they're controlling their dog, because really that's what it's all about.
And the fundraiser activities, you're having a fundraiser called Holiday Pet Photos with Santa Claus this Saturday at the Mendenhall Mall. What are the hours?
1 to 5.
And this weekend actually is without Santa for dogs that don't have a big Santa likeness. And then on the 3rd and 4th with Santa.
Of December.
Right, of December, yeah.
Yeah, and both of those are on the weekend. November 19th, of course, Saturday, this upcoming Saturday, and we are at the Mendenhall Mall.
Who we wish to thank for donating this space.
Yes, very much. We're pretty much, I think it would be the north end, so it's closer to where Gottschalk's is, used to be, excuse me. So that's in the general area. There'll be signs that'll direct people.
Listen for the howling.
Yeah, and the barking.
Is it just for dogs?
No. Mostly we have dogs, but we normally every year have a few other different types of pets. It's not uncommon to have cats. In past years, we've had ducks, ferrets, a snake, and I believe we had a rat one year. But that's pretty much the range of...
Nothing like horses or
no.
Rhinoceros.
No. People have asked about the horses, but I don't think the mall would like them to come in.
Well, speaking of which, how do you prepare the pets emotionally and also physically?
Well, one of the reasons we're having pet photos without Santa is because some pets are shy of Santa and just need a little extra time. So this way we have a holiday-themed portrait of your pet. It's basically the same set, same setup. So you'll have a nice background and Christmas decorations and that sort of thing, but just no Santa. So for dogs that are shy of strangers, especially some that are kind of out of the ordinary looking. It might be a good choice to bring them on Saturday.
From the dog's perspective, Santa could be pretty scary.
It's very true. even though he's not a scary fellow, but
he's a very nice guy.
Dogs should be clean and parasite-free, so if you know that your dogs have fleas or something else, please don't...
Or kennel cough or something that. Unfortunately, they have to sit it out. But
any communicable disease, we'd like to avoid spreading any of that stuff. So reasonably clean, dry, if you know, assuming it's not pouring rain and that sort of thing. So.
But the people that are there know dogs. I mean, the photographer is, in fact, Pat Calbaugh has been doing this a number of years, and she's not only an experienced photographer, but an experienced dog handler. So it's not like you're going to be putting your dog in a situation with people that don't know dogs.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, and she does a really nice job bringing out the best in the dog. She's got a lot of experience photographing dogs, not just for Pet Photos of Santa, but she does a lot of photographing of her own dogs, other people's dogs. She's not a professional, but semi-professional, I'd say.
Does she use bribery?
Excuse me?
Does she use bribery, like dog treats?
We use squeaky toys, and we do have some treats to sometimes that gets dogs a little more relaxed if we give them a treat or something. But.
And the cost?
We have a sitting fee of $10. Then the photos are digitally uploaded to a website that then you go to order prints. You also have the option of downloading a digital copy. So if you just prefer to do that and then just print on your own computer or make greeting cards, take it to some local store and get it printed up.
It's a great system because the photos just get uploaded to a file sharing system that you or I or anybody uses, and then you can just order as many or as few or actually download the actual digital photograph off of the photos file. So it's a pretty sweet system for everybody.
So then with the digital copy, of course, you can post it to your Facebook page, your web page, share it with your friends. And
so this is called photo sharing.
Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly.
So you've done this for a number of years. It represents the early 90s from what I understand. Mm-hmm. Any special memories?
I think some of the unusual pets, I guess, kind of made the most unusual and special memories. I don't know. For some reason, the time that the woman with the two Aussies brought in four ducks, that just kind of sticks in my mind. It's something very unusual, and I don't know. I just kind of
was it like a herding thing for the Aussies and the ducks?
Yeah, Santa, yeah.
Was Santa there?
Yeah.
Oh, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I've been talking to John Stevens and Camille Stevens about pet photos of Santa with or without Santa. Start this Saturday at the Mandan Normal. You want to talk about the hours and days again, please, John?
This Saturday from 1 to 5, and then 2 weeks after that on the 3rd and 4th of December, also from 1 to 5 at the Mandan Normal Mall. And it'll be real obvious, like Jeff said, just follow the barking, but there will be signs, and it'll be obvious where to go. And we want to thank them all again for allowing us to be there in the space.
And if people need more information about the Capital Kennel Club?
They can go to our website at www.ckcoj.org, and that stands for Capital Kennel Club of Juneau.
And there's information not only about the photos, but also just classes and everything that the club does.
Membership applications if you want to become a member, everything.
All right, Camille and John, thank you so much for going down the station. Anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
Just happy holidays.
Happy holidays, and thanks, Jeff.
Well, little lady, let me elucidate here. Everybody wants to be a cat, because a cat's the only cat who knows where it's at.
Tell me everybody's picking up on that feline beat, because everything else is obsolete. Square with a horn makes you wish you weren't born
every time he plays.
But with a square in the act, you can set music back
to the caveman days.
frozen. I've heard some corny birds who tried to sing. Still, a cat's the only cat who knows how to swing.
Who wants to dick long hair, dick stuff like that?
When everybody wants to be a cat, a square with a horn makes you wish you weren't born. Every time he plays, oh, a rinky tinky dinky with a square in the act, you can set music back to the caveman days.
Oh, a rinky tinky tinky.
Yes, everybody wants to be a cat. Because a cat's the only cat who knows where it's at. When playing jazz, you always have a welcome mat. Everybody digs a swinging cat.
Time is 3:16 and you are tuned to KTUO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Our next guest is Ellen Pavitt from Pavitt Health and Fitness here to talk about some pre-sale health seminars they've got going on. One in particular is going on tonight about cooking. Ellen, thank you very much for coming down to the station today.
Thank you for having me, Jeff.
So first of all, tell me about Pavitt Health and Fitness.
Pavitt Health and Fitness is out in the valley and we're a full-service gym. What we have going on Thursday evenings that I want to talk about is a series of free health seminars. They're always on nutrition or health fitness topics. We've actually been doing it for several years now, except during the summertime we don't do it. But every Thursday evening we offer a free, open to the public seminar.
From what I understand, there's free samples tonight.
There are. I'm doing one of my cooking demonstrations tonight. Each week at the fitness center, I post a new healthy recipe. And then once a month, I offer a cooking demonstration on the Thursday night seminar schedule. So tonight, I'm up, and we're going to be making cream of vegetable soup and protein bars. Corey and I developed our own protein bar recipe several years ago.
Can you tell me about the basic concepts in healthy cooking?
Yes. First of all, I strive to offer recipes and demonstrations of things that aren't too complicated to make because we're all very busy. Healthy cooking, in my view, involves using a low carbohydrate diet. Carbohydrates are fine, but we don't want to overdo it. Healthy fats, and of course, plenty of protein. So I use recipes that emphasize those ingredients.
And these are all on your website?
They are. Each week I put the recipe on the website, and also on the website each week is an announcement about what the seminar will cover. And I would just wanted to say a couple of the other seminars that we've given in the past and a couple that we're looking forward to so that people could have a sense of what types of topics we address. Corey often gives a seminar, and he speaks about nutrition, fat loss. One of our popular ones is free weights for the over 50 crowd. He gives demonstrations, and people get to try using the free weights. We've also brought in a young woman last year who's literally on the United States bobsledding team and a national champion in Olympic lifting, and she gave a free seminar on that and a free seminar on joint mobility. And we've had a local man named Ira Rosen come in who's talked about power lifting. Patricia White comes in occasionally and gives meditation technique workshops. It's secular meditation.
And some of this classes you got going for December?
Yeah. Corey's going to be doing a class on nutrition and fat loss. I'm looking forward, especially, this is actually next year, probably in January, but Dr. Hunter Jorens is going to come in and speak about caring for the aging brain. We had David Audison last week come in and talk about genetically engineered foods.
These are all free and open to the public?
They are.
And where is Pavitt Health and Fitness located?
Thank you. We're out in the valley. We're at 10004 Glacier Highway, so we're right next to Don Abel's, the Job Center. And I want to say that they're at 6:30. Every Thursday evening. There won't be one next Thursday because it's Thanksgiving, and we'll take a break for the Christmas holidays and then start up again in January. But we have three more seminars coming up right now, I think, before the Christmas holidays.
Do you have to pre-register so you know how much food to buy?
No, not at all. I prepare for plenty of people, and if I have extra, that's great. We just eat it at home. Last week, I had shrimp scampi, and we had extra, and we ate that really quick.
Sounds good. And your phone number, if people contact you by phone.
Yes. The fitness center number is 789-5556. We also have a fabulous website, and that is GoPavitt, GoPavitt.com.
All right, Ellen Pavitt here talking about the free health seminars we've got going on, including tonight at 6:30. If you need more information about it, that phone number again is?
789-5556.
Thank you for coming by, Ellen. Anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
I just like to encourage people to come because we all have ideas that we want to be healthy, and it's good to get support. It's good to meet other people that are trying to do it, and the cooking demonstration will help you because it'll give you a concrete example of how to eat more healthfully.
Well, thank you for coming by.
Thanks, Jeff.
Once upon a time, you didn't know what to choose. But now there's a guide full of every food. Well, it's the food pyramid. It's the food pyramid. The higher you climb, the less you need. It's the food pyramid. Cereal, pasta, rice, and grains. Today you eat them fancy or plain on the food pyramid. The bottom of the food pyramid. The higher you climb, the less you need. It's the food pyramid. Climb a little higher now. Vegetables and fruits are packed with power. 5 a day is what you should devour.
Kathy Fink and Marcy Marks here. The time is 3:24, and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Our next guest is Morgan Hobson here to tell us about the Glory Hole and their needs this winter. Morgan, thank you very much for coming on the station today.
Hi, Jeff. How are you?
I'm pretty good today. We're wishing I could get up, gone out, and get a little bit of the sun today. But
yeah.
So first, tell me about the Glory Hole for people who don't know.
Yeah, so the Glory Hole is our local homeless shelter, and in addition to sheltering folks there, we also provide a lot of services, including doing turkey boxes, which is our big project right now, which is a project where we put together boxes for Thanksgiving dinners for people in the community. And last year, we distributed nearly 500.
Wow.
So, yeah. So we're looking right now, we're looking for donations, especially, too, as we've come up a little short. So we're looking for things like turkeys and canned green beans, corn, cranberry sauce, cream of mushroom soup, stuffing, instant mashed potatoes, canned evaporated milk, dinner rolls, butter, gravy, pies, all sorts of makings for a perfect Thanksgiving dinner. So if anyone has these kind of things that they'd like to bring by, Costco's a great place to find it, too, that they can bring things by the glory hole and drop them off there. And also people can sign up for them. The phone number there at the Glory Hole is 586-4159, and folks can sign up until November 19th. And then pick up boxes anytime between 1 and 4:30 in the afternoon and 7 and 9 at night. And then on the weekends, it's 1 to 5.
Mm-hmm. But this time of year, you're also looking for winter clothes, I imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. Winter jackets this time of year is very critical. If anyone has old ski jackets or anything that didn't sell at the ski sale that they want to bring by, we greatly appreciate that.
All right, and if you need to call, the phone number again is?
It's 586-4159.
And you even have a website.
We do. And another thing, too, our website is feedjuno.org. And another way, if people wanted to contribute to the Glory Hole right now, is that the Juno Community Fund is seeking for... They're seeking donations, and if they can reach $10,000 in donations, I believe, they will receive a match. And if anyone wants to write checks to them and put a memo note towards the Glory Hole, then we'll receive those funds in duplicate as well.
And what's the address if people want to mail a good little check in?
You know, I don't have that on hand right now, but the name of the organization is the Juno Community Fund.
All right, Morgan Hudson, thank you so much for coming down and talking about the Glory Hole's winter needs, especially turkeys and food and cranberries and things like that.
Absolutely, thank you.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 17th of November, 2011. It was on this day, 1800, Congress met in the Capitol building in Washington for the first time. They'd begun building it in 1793, it fell behind schedule, over budget. So, in 1796, they decided to build only the Senate wing. And when they moved in, 1800 on this day, some of the rooms still incomplete. Nonetheless, it could accommodate the Senate and the House, the Supreme Court, the Library of Congress, and some district courts. November 17, 1800 was a snowy day in Washington, so the welcoming parade had to be canceled. And they discovered that as grand as the Capitol was, the building leaked and it had no heat. Washington was something of a backwater, especially compared to Philadelphia, where Congress had met for 10 years before. But they stuck with it. Both wings of the Capitol were completed just in time for the British to burn the building in 1814. Reconstruction began then, completed in 1819, which made the first dome. With all the new states and the new congressmen, it was clear they had to expand, so they built the new Capitol, which was nearly twice as long, which meant that the earlier dome was out of proportion. They tore that down and replaced it with a cast iron dome that we see today. It's the birthday of Shelby Foote, the historian, Greenville, Mississippi, 1916. In the early 50s, Random House asked him to write a short account of the Civil War, a short account meaning about 200,000 words. Shelby Foote's book, The Civil War, A Narrative, took 20 years to write, wound up being about 8 times longer than what he'd been asked to do, coming to 3,000 pages in 3 volumes. And it was on this date in 1970, Douglas Engelbart received a patent for the first computer mouse. It was called an XY position indicator. It was a wooden shell over 2 metal wheels, and his research team had been calling it a mouse because the cord resembled a mouse's tail. The Stanford Research Institute, where he conceived the idea, licensed the mouse to Apple. And Engelbart himself never received any royalties. Here's a poem for today by Walt MacDonald, Voices on Jukebox Wax. Pulling our Stetsons low, we whispered songs to sweethearts who clung so close, we danced in slow motion, heartache of steel guitars, vows we swore with our bones. Their hair was the air for an hour. We breathed and held them close, ignoring the war for the night, voices on jukebox wax winding around like a rope. 1 week we kissed them hard and rode off, swearing we'd bring back silk and souvenirs. Long after a war, no one we cared for survived without scars. Earl and I are here with wives as old as country songs and guitars, our children older than all of us that fall. Don's a name on a wall in Washington. I hear his name sometimes in questions at class reunions. I haven't heard from Carl. The poem Voices on Jukebox Wax by Walt MacDonald, from his collection Blessings the Body Gave, published by Ohio State University Press, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, you can read the current issue of Poetry or listen to the monthly Editor's Podcast at poetryfoundation.org. And by Novo Nordisk, for nearly 90 years, committed to innovation in diabetes care. Learn more at novonordisk-us.com. Produced by Kathy Roach and Nick Vetter, be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Time is 3:32, and you are attuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Next guests are here to talk about a rave for tots. Cliff Farr and Sammy Saville, thank you for coming down the station today.
Thank you for having us, Jeff.
Thanks.
So a rave, you think of normally as something a little bit older than tots. How did the idea come about for this client?
Well, children love to dance. At least my children love to dance. And I sort of assume everybody else has loved to dance. Samia, your children?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I said, well, we should exploit this for fundraising. And that was one side of it. And then the other side of it was, Andy over there at KXLL is always having these raves, and I never get to go because I have small children.
Yeah, it was spawned out of jealousy.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, so this way we can have a rave and be with our children.
What exactly is a rave?
Well, and it's really just a dance with some lights. Rave from the 90s, a little bit subversive to be calling it a tot rave, but it was a theme of 90s college parties or something. So now we're all parents, and so it's sort of harkens back to our college days.
So this fundraiser for Gold Creek Child Care.
Yeah.
Sammy, you want to tell me about Gold Creek Child Care, please?
Yeah, Gold Creek is actually a nonprofit organization. A lot of people know it as the daycare center in the federal building, but we are a nonprofit organization, and we're a childhood development center, so we actually do have a much broader mission than just providing daycare, and part of our mission is to reach out to the community as well as the families who are members of Gold Creek, to provide some education and training about early childhood development and kind of support that part of people's lives here in Juneau.
About how many young people attend the child care?
At Gold Creek,
mm-hmm.
We have 65 families currently.
So the rave is happening this Friday at DIPEC. What are the hours, Clint?
It's 5:30 to 8 o'clock, so come on over after work. And we'll have food for sale there. Tickets can be bought when you enter the aquarium, and we'll have both the entrance fee, which is $5 per person for those three and over. Two and under are free, and then you, will, I think, at this point, will be also be able to buy the tickets for food.
Yes.
Yes,
we'll have tickets for food. Food sales will be, buy tickets and
mm-hmm.
your entrance fee at the door,
mm-hmm.
and then you can come on in and dance, and we have
face painting, of course, and a little game activity area for infants and toddlers, mm-hmm. and we'll have a performance by the Arts for Youth dance group. So there'll be some kids from the Taffy group who will be coming to do a performance and lead a couple of dances, and we'll have some sort of guided dance or dance games for children and their parents as well.
And we also have a silent auction that looks to be pretty good. We have a month membership from Pavitt, a night stay at the Silver Bow. We've got coffee from the Rookery and a hip scarf and free belly dance lessons from a lady named Samia Sabell. And some stuff from the Juneau Fly Fishing Goods and the brewery and Alaska Robotics and all sorts of folks. So the silent auction looks to be good as well. We don't have facilities for credit cards, however, so cash and check would be preferred.
All right. What kind of music are you going to be featuring?
That's a good question, as we're still putting together the music list. I was just putting together Neil Diamond, America, YMCA, and trying to get some disco, a little bit of Bee Gees in there, and then we might play some modern house. And then I found some great upbeat children's music. I'm going to throw in there as well. We do kind of have a no Rafi policy, though.
We do have a no Rafi policy, so it's all parent-friendly dance music, is what we're calling it.
To the extent possible, yes.
Yeah, and we kind of have it divided up into 20 to 30-minute sets. So there'll be some world music, some Zydeco and Cajun, and we'll have some dance house music, and mm-hmm. So a variety of different types of music.
Yeah.
And this starts Friday again at what time? 6?
5:30 p.m. at the Dipak Aquarium.
And tickets are available at the door. And you said earlier when you enter the aquarium, you meant Dipak, not the aquarium itself. There's no swimming involved, is there?
There is, and you do not enter the aquarium. That's true. But you do get to look at some.
Right. Clint Barr and Sammy said, well, here to talk about the Rave for Tots at Dipak this Friday at 5:30. It's a fundraiser for Gold Creek Child Care. Anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
No, I think we cut it all.
That covers
yeah,
it.
Yeah, thank you.
There's no
Arts Up on K2 is supported in part by the Juneau Artist Gallery, a cooperative featuring the work of over 25 local artists and artisans. The Juneau Artist Gallery is open year-round, located downtown in the Senate Building.
Time is 3:41 and you are tuned. It's 3:42 and you are tuned to KTUO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. It's time for Arts Up, and substituting for Nancy DeTruney today is the inimitable John Kelly from KTUO Television Land. John, thank you for coming by the station today.
Well, it's a pleasure to come up here and be Nancy for a while.
So we've got a lot of activities here going on this weekend.
There's too much going on this week, so let's all just go to the movies instead. No, I'm just kidding. Let's see the highlights. There's like a lot of stuff going on in Juneau this week. Tonight at 9, Cary Grove and Jason Caputo hosting an open mic at the Alaskan Bar. Tomorrow at noon, the free Kimball organ concert at the State Office Building. That's noon tomorrow. Theater, some of the highlights, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, Peter Pan at the Northern Light Junior Theater, JDHS Auditorium. That's Friday at 7, Saturday at 2, and Sunday at 2. And the big one, I think, this week seems like it'll be La Boheme, Juneau Lyric Opera at the New McTheaters Hall. And that's Friday and Saturday at 7:30. Should be a good one. I know this is like after La Traviata, my grandmother's favorite opera, La Boheme. It's a real tearjerker, but it's fun. And opera in Juneau, why not? Dan Hobson is doing classical guitar at the Gold Room at the Baranoff Hotel Friday and Saturday at 7. Tom Locher is doing jazz at the Zephyr Restaurant, 7 o'clock on Friday. If you are involved or want to be involved in the Holiday Pops rehearsals, the Juneau Lyric Opera, Northern Light Church, Thunder Mountain High School performance will be on December 11th, but it looks like rehearsals are Sunday at 3, Tuesday at 6:45. International Folk and Ballroom Dancing, JRC, the Alaska Club, downtown, free, 6 o'clock on Sunday. Oh, and here's one of the highlights for me. A Christmas Carol is coming to Perseverance Theater. I guess they're having Pay As You Can at 7:30 on Sunday and Wednesday, and as well as during the run. But the play actually premieres on November 25th. So
mark your calendar.
Mark your calendar for that one. That one I've been waiting for since they announced the calendar back in the summer. If you didn't see the first production they did this year, it was fabulous. We have some literary events as well for those of you who like to read or like to listen to people reading. Whoosh, Kinade Poetry Slam, an open mic with Nami and Nahan at the Canvas Community Arts Center at 223 Seward Street at 6:30 on Friday night. Oh, and as usual, there's the Evening at Egan, New Culture with Nicholas Gallinan at the Egan Lecture Hall at 7 o'clock on Friday. Focus Writing Group at the Downtown Library at 6 o'clock on Monday. If you're into some films, some great films, the Gold Town Nickelodeon is always the place to go. Le Havre is coming this weekend, 7 o'clock Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, with a 4 o'clock matinee on Sunday. And looks like 9:30 on Saturday as well. This one, Being Elmo at the Gold Town Nickelodeon, is about Kevin Clash, the guy who actually did does Elmo. It's not so much about Elmo, but about Kevin, who always wanted to be. He always wanted to work for Jim Henson and the Muppets as a kid. You know, a black kid growing up in the inner city. And it's not so much a story about him or Elmo, but his background as a kid, and, you know, it's a, kind of a feel-good movie. So that's coming up at the Gold Town. Make Prayers to the Raven, Alaska Native Cultures Film Series at the UAS Egan Lecture Hall, 7:30 tonight, it looks like. One for the Road, a TGR ski film premiere at the Juneau Arts and Culture Center, 6 o'clock Friday family, and at 9 o'clock Friday, 21 and over, there's a no-host bar, I believe, so that's mm-hmm. why it's not so family-friendly. Children's matinee of Little Drummer Boy, A Year Without Santa Claus, and The Grinch will be at the Goldtown Nickelodeon at 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. Blue Obsession on the Wild Coast at the Goldtown Nickelodeon, 7 o'clock on Wednesday. For those of you who are interested in some workshop classes, Family Caregiver Education Series, Lifting and Transferring Safely, Mount View Community Room at noon on Tuesday. I think that's past.
Could be next Tuesday.
Could be next Tuesday. Women's Climbing Class, if it's not next Wednesday at 6:30, it was yesterday at 6:30. And that's at the Rock Dump. And there are some special events, fundraisers, runs, etc. The No Umbrellas Real Fashion for Real Alaskans Hospice and Home Care. There's limited seating and standing room only. Tickets will be available at the door. And it says beginning at 6:30, 7 o'clock tonight. So I'm not sure what day. They don't have a date on here.
It is tonight. It's a fundraiser for the Hospice and Home Care.
It actually is tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and here we have the Oxfam Hunger and Banquet at the Thunder Mountain High School Commons to benefit Southeast Alaska Food Bank, 6 o'clock on Saturday. Good cause, 6 o'clock on Saturday. Trail Mix is an annual gala and auction fundraiser for the Peterson Lake Trail upgrades. Will be at Centennial Hall at 6 o'clock on Saturday. So if you're a hiker like I am, and the Peterson Lake Trail is one of my favorites, that's happening 6 o'clock on Saturday, their annual gala and auction. The Charter School Family Climbing Night at the Zach Gordon Youth Center is free, 3:30, tomorrow. Holiday Bazaar, Northern Light Church, on 400 West 11th, 9 o'clock Saturday, lunch from 11 to 1:30. Harborview Family Climbing Night, Zach Gordon Youth Center, free, 3:30 on Tuesday. I don't know if that's a weekly thing or not. Fry Bread and Fundraising at Wuxin Waka UAS Student Club's Morant Cafeteria UAS, 11 o'clock Friday and Wednesday. Gassineau Family Climbing Night at the Zach Gordon Youth Center is free, 3:30 on Wednesdays, I guess. And for those of you going to some meetings, the Rotary, Tuesday noon, Baranoff Hotel, Wednesday noon, Juneau International Airport, Thursday, 7 a.m., T.K. McGuire's Prospector Hotel, Juneau Chamber of Commerce, Thursdays, noon, Moose Lodge at 8335 Airport Boulevard. The Toastmasters, Mondays, noon at the Federal Building, room 541, and Tuesdays, 6:15 at St. Paul's Catholic Church.
It's a.m.
6:15 p.m.
A.m. on Tuesdays.
It says p.m. on here. I'm just, you know.
Just reading what it
says. So we got to find out. 6:15 a.m.?
Tuesday.
That's pretty early to start talking, isn't it?
Well, it's good practice for you.
Okay. We have a bunch of gallery exhibits. First Friday maps are available at the Juneau Arts and Culture Center. I'm going to assume a lot of these are from this current month, from this past First Friday, because we have 2 weeks to go before the next First Friday comes up. Or gallery walk, whatever it's called. I'm assuming it's
gallery walk. It goes gallery walk this next
month. It's in December. Alaska State Museum has a really fabulous art display downstairs and upstairs. I can't even begin to describe it, but it's you know, I went there opening when the opening was on this past First Friday, and it was packed. But if you haven't gone, I've gone again, you know, during the daytime at lunch, and there's just so much art. It's just beautiful. A lot of local stuff. One artist is there,
Constance Baltuk,
who you know, there's the really bright color. The colorful stuff around Juneau, it's like iridescent oranges and greens, and it's really pretty. It's a different way to look at our area, which always seems so gray and bluish, but the paintings are terrific. And then there's the other artist, the young woman who has all this, it looks like almost like a cartoon depiction of the Gold Rush days. And I don't recall her name, but I remember both of those exhibits were terrific. And then downstairs, there was the birch tree exhibit and the artist who did all these fabulous paintings on birch trees. And it's great. I'm assuming it's going to be there for the rest of this month at least. If you haven't gotten a chance to get to the Alaska State Museum, get down there. It is terrific. Annie Kales, I guess, they had Barbara Lovely. I guess she has some new stuff in. Bentwood and Beads Gallery, Antique Beaded Bags by Sue Kraft on 3rd Street. Figment, Phoebe Rohrbacher on Franklin Street.
It's in the Senate Building.
In the Senate Building. Gallery of the North, new pieces by several artists. So just go to the Gallery of the Art. I'm sure you'll see something you love. Juno Arts and Humanities, Mustafa Beya and Dean Graber. I saw that exhibit as well. That's pretty good, too. That's some good stuff over there at the Jack. Kodiak Coke Company. They don't have any titles, but I'm sure they have something interesting. K2, it says quilts on display. I'm not sure if it's coming or we did have quilts for a while. The quilts are gone. I don't know what we have coming up in 2 weeks, but you can tune in 2 weeks and find out.
I don't either. So if you'd like to, if you're an artist and want to have a gallery opening at the KTUO building, please give me a call. 463-6425.
And we're putting up some new tracks now for our art exhibits as we speak.
Thanks to Brad QA for that.
Thanks, Brad. Ravensong Gallery, various artists, Ruby Room, Avon Handley, Merck, and Kate Laster at 174 Franklin Street in the Senate Building. The Rookery, Mary Vanderjack, Silverwell Backroom, Art of Recovery. The Canvas, Charles Rohrbacher, well-known favorite of Juno. If you're interested in getting your event on the community calendar, you can email the JunoArtsCouncil@gmail.com. And that just about does it. So, I mean, you should have something to do this weekend. I mean, especially the theater and, you know, La Boheme, Christmas Carol, Gold Town Nickelodeon. You're going to have a very busy weekend if you look at all this stuff.
So. And then if sports is more your cup of tea, then the Crimson Bears varsity hockey team is looking to rebound from its series against the East High Thunderbirds with the two-game series against the Kenai Center High School Cardinals. That's Friday, the 19th of November, and Saturday, the 20th of November at the Treadwell Arena. So if you need more information about that, check out the hockey teams. John, thank you very much for coming down the station and talking about things going on, and thanks to the Arts Council for preparing all that information for you.
No problem.
I am scared of you.
I am scared of you.
I am scared of you.
I am a leader.
Volunteer.
I give back to my community.
Culture, science,
I am scared of you.
I am scared of you.
Here's my story.
Here are our stories.
These are the sounds of Fresh Offbeat, a group of young teen boys from Clark Middle School who dance almost daily at AK Pride. AK Pride is a place where kids can go after school to express themselves through music, art, and dance. The studio and dance space are at an Anchorage mall that's close to schools and high-density housing. Junior Gisa, who's also called June, is the AK Pride program coordinator.
We show them that we care for them. We try not to intervene or as far as their learning process. That way they can say that they learned it on their own. And it wasn't forced upon them. It wasn't drilled onto them.
19-year-old Joshua Afatia is also here today. He's an AK Pride graduate.
Well, before I was just joining, just to join, to do something, but now, you know, seeing how much it affected kids with what they're doing after school, and like, you know, instead of making bad choices of, you know, going outside and, you know, on the streets doing something, you know, you come here and do something positive and you know, give back to, you know, those kids that just want, that used to be like me, you know, just looking for something to do, and instead of, you know, me looking for something to do, I'm doing something about, like, those kids look for something to do, and just trying to turn everything to a positive way.
More than 50 area youth come to AK Pride regularly to build on their skills and to grow through artistic expression. Exceptional AK Pride acts are featured at ongoing public performances all around South Central. I'm Shanna Sheehy.
I am a teenager.
I am an Alaskan.
I give back.
Do you see me?
Recognize youth ages 12 to 19 at spiritofyouth.org.
Provided by the Association of Alaska School Boards.
Winter's here, and it's time to work your runway, Juno, at the Jack, Thursday, November 17th for No Umbrellas, a real fashion show for real Alaskans. A rockin' 21 and over event featuring a live DJ'd runway show with local downtown fashions and a halftime show by the Juno Roller Girls. Delicious food and drinks from Abby's Kitchen, The Rendezvous, and the Alaskan Brewing Company. All proceeds from ticket and beer sales go to Hospice and Home Care of Juno. Tickets now available at jahc.org, the brewery, the depot, Hearthside Books, and at the Jack.
Thank you.
Alaska, with Sharon Isbin from her brand new CD, Guitar Passions. Time is 3:58, and you are tuned to KTUO News in Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. KTUO also broadcasts on these translators. In the Valley and Ock Bay area, tuned to K276 AF at 103.1. In Lemon and Switzer Creek, K269 AO at 101.7. Gustavus listens on K201 AM 88.1. K220BT says Huna at 91.9. In Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait, you can hear KTUO on K210 AS 89.9. And in Juneau, you can also receive KTUO on GCI Cable Juneau on digital channel 871. We're also live online at www.ktuo.org. Coming up tomorrow, 3 on a Juneau afternoon, we'll get the details on the UAS Evening and Egan presentation tomorrow night with guest Nicholas Gallinan. We'll talk with Haynes writer Heather Lindy in town for a book signing Saturday at Hearthside Books. Pete Griffin will be here with details about Saturday's celebration event at the Mindanao Glacier Visitor Center. And Chris Cairns from NAMI will be here to talk about the Saturday's International Survivors of Suicide Day. Ed Ryder's Almanac Music and More tomorrow, 3 on a Juneau afternoon. Strong wind is expected through this evening, mostly clear skies, low temperatures 11 to 17 degrees. Forecast for Friday, partly cloudy skies with high temperatures around 20 degrees. Friday night looks like mostly cloudy skies with low temperatures 8 to 14 degrees. Saturday, mostly cloudy skies with a wind chill to 20 below zero expected. Coming up next is All Things Considered. Thank you for tuning in to a Juneau afternoon today. Have a pleasant evening and drive carefully.